Welcome to Bible Greek VPod's audio series on the Holy Spirit.
Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to gather around your word. And so be with us. Help us understand. Guide us in your word today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Okay, so we looked at Ephesians 5:18 last time. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was a command. And yet a passive is used. An external agent performs the action. And Dr. Pentecost, he says this: we do not need to get more of the Holy Spirit. Instead, we need to let the Holy Spirit have all of us. And I repeat, we do not need more of the Holy Spirit. We just need to let the Holy Spirit have more of us. In other words, you know, we're indwelt by the Spirit, and we have everything we need and all we need of the Spirit. And we just need to let Him have more of us.
Quite good, actually.
Let Him have more of us. So His presence and His experiences all, every spiritual blessing in Christ. Look at Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So, we, you know, we bless God because He has blessed us. You know, we've been bestowed with every spiritual blessing in God the Father and God the Son. And what are those? Well, first off, obviously, is salvation. But then, secondly, it's every spiritual enrichment. Every spiritual blessing, this says. Every spiritual enrichment needed for the spiritual life. When we started our new life in Christ, we knew nothing except the gospel, right? I mean, everybody starts at the same place. And that gospel message that Christ died for us, was buried, and was resurrected, and we mature gradually. And this maturity involves three things: you, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God. So item number one, B here, transforming the mind, is that part of Christian maturity that is most important. So look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I gave you the Greek there for present. And if you have a King James, it's yield. Yield your bodies as a living sacrifice. Well, that word means to set at hand or to present. Most of the modern translations of present, or just to stand. You know, you stand there next to the Lord, presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. And then B, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Conform, back in verse 2. It's to conform, or to, it's actually a compound word, together, fashion. So you kind of get the idea. You conform or fashion yourself together with another one, with God, is who you're fashioning your mind to. And so you don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorpho, to change into another form, and you do that by mechanism of the renewing of the mind, renewing of the mind. You don't conform yourself to the world system, and it's a command. This is a command. Wedded to the world system, but be transformed. And how do you do that? It's by the renewing of your mind, and the result is doing, look at that, the will of God, the perfect, acceptable, good will of God. It's thy will, Lord, not my will. Just like Jesus, just like the Holy Spirit who is in us glorifies Christ, and that's his primary thing that he does. And so we do the will of God because we know God in a transformed way. Our minds can comprehend it. And then look at 2 Corinthians 3:14 through 18. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. So obviously he's talking about the Jews. The minds of the Old Testament Jews were blinded to the very thing that the Old Testament pointed to, Christ. And the Old Testament all pointed to Christ. But they were blinded. And look at that. The word for blinded is the Greek. To cover with a thick skin, to harden by covering of a callus, with a callus. And then verse 15, but even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Lies on their heart. And they can read it, but it just won't go to their heart. And 16, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then let me finish. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. It's a progressive thing. Into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So back up to verse 17. You know, this the Lord is the Spirit, meaning they're one. The Lord and the Spirit is one. The Spirit seeks to give Christ glory, and that's his primary work. And so, but they are one in essence, and one God in unity, so that while the Spirit is there, two is the Lord. And so we have the Lord because we have the Spirit. This dwelling place of God that we are means that we have the presence of Christ. We're the dwelling place, and therein is found liberty. That's what that says. Look at I've given you the Greek word liberty, to do as one pleases. Your liberty to do as what pleases Christ. Why? Well, because Christians glory like Moses glory. He had this glory that was a reflection of God's glory on his face. Moses did. He had white hair, and so that was his reflection of the glory of God. But starting from justification and moving to sanctification, we reflect the transformed life in our lives. So we, in essence, reflect that glory from glory to glory, as is by the Spirit of the Lord. What happened with Moses in a very physical sense moves to the church. And because we are indwelt with the Spirit, we reflect as a mirror the glory of the Lord. And it's because we have a transformed mind. And so we look at Ephesians 4:20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore put away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So here in this section of Ephesians 4:20, we have this contrast to live before Christ. Live, you know, what the way we lived before Christ as compared to what we live now in Christ. So you have learned, past tense Christ, verse 20, to learn to increase in knowledge is actually this word. There's a lot of words in Greek, and this one means to increase in knowledge, to understand. And, you know, the difference between knowledge and understanding is understanding is you can apply the knowledge. So it's application knowledge. But this is not just common learn, but this is to increase in knowledge. And so they have a past tense learned Christ, and that is, you know, you're saved. And as such, verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus Christ. In other words, you have past tense heard him, and being taught by him, you have truth. What was taught? Truth was taught. And just as truth is in Christ, so Paul exhorts them to put on the new man. And that is accomplished by a renewed mind. And that's what he said. Put away your old, that old self, lying. Let each of you speak truth to his neighbor. Because we are members one to another. We're all in this together. Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath. Do not sin. So we move to yielding to God. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Actually starts at verse 10. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present, here's that word yield. If your modern translation is, it's present. But King James, it's yield, is to stand. To set at hand, stand right next to, if you will. So do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Don't stand in the presence of unrighteousness. Stand in the presence of God. Because you do have the presence of God. Look, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. So growing in grace, present or yield, stand alongside, do not stand with the unrighteous and sin, but as alive to God, stand by God. And not only that, but be led by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The word for lead there is just the common word for lead. So it just means being led by God. You know, they're growing in grace, and it means being led by the Spirit. And this is a present passive, those being led. The interpretation here is active, not passive. For just as many are led, but it's actually a passive. And it's present tense, continue to be led by the Spirit. These are sons of God. Verse 15, for you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. What a beautiful statement that is, that we can have this personal relationship with God. And then 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That gives us our assurance. How do you know? Do you often wonder, oh God, am I a child of God? But at those times, the Spirit can come up and say, the Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God, into his family. We have a new relationship with God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. There's a what who he starts with, he will finish. That's why I love the sovereignty of God, because who is God? Well, he's in control. He's big. My God is big. He starts with me. He will finish with me. And there's nothing you can do to escape his loving hand. In verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. And in the future, we'll see his glory, and it will become real as none other. But be led by the Spirit of God. You know, don't be like the lady in my church who said, I won't let my husband lead me in financial matters. Her husband was lousy at finances. He just got him into terrible debt. But here's a lady who would let her husband lead in every area but finances. Every area but finance. But she would not let him lead in finances. That's an illustration of us. As many who are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Will we let God lead us? Will we hand it over to him? Or will we say, yeah, he can, yeah, I'll let him lead everywhere except for this little area in my life? I don't know if that lady ever let her husband lead, but one day maybe I'll find out. That moves us to this last section I want to talk about, three types of spiritual people. And this is based upon how they receive spiritual truth. So first off, there's the natural man. And Jude 19 says, these are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. So the natural man, some of your translations are natural, some are sensual. But it just is that Greek word, natural, sensual, or breathing. They just breathing. They're not, you know, there's no thinking. They're just doing what is natural. And there's no Spirit there to lead them. They're just run by their natural senses. So that's the first type of a person who, they don't receive spiritual truth at all. He doesn't have the Spirit. He's unregenerated, and he doesn't receive this spiritual truth. Then there's the spiritual man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. We'll start at verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. You know, be transformed. Who teaches us? The Holy Spirit does. He reveals those things to us. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man, and that's that natural man, which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So how do you know the things of God? Because you have the Spirit of God. He teaches you. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know. Possibility there. We might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Look at that. The Holy Spirit teaches it, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The natural man can't comprehend it, but we who have the Spirit, the regenerate, have the Spirit who teaches us, and we can compare spiritual things. Verse 14, but the natural, that's that same word, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. When they judge those things that they hear, that's what discerned is they judge it, they esteem it, And it's they estimate it as just foolishness. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know, in other words, we can't tell God anything. God tells us and instructs us. And we have the mind of Christ because we have the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us. So that's the spiritual man. He's a mature man who can come to Scripture and read Scripture, accept things, and be taught by the Spirit. He is the person who is yielded and can be led by the Spirit. We come to the third person, the carnal, the babe in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:1-4. The babe in Christ. They're in Christ. They're saved. And this is where everyone starts. Verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as a spiritual people," that's that person we just read, "but as carnal." Yeah, I've given you the Greek there. Sarkos is flesh, fleshly, carnal, "as to babes in Christ." So they're just babes. They just have a first-hand knowledge. And that's where everybody starts. And what does he say in verse 2? "I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. So here's the problem here. You know, everybody knows a babe can only accept milk and wears diapers. And we don't make fun of a babe. You know that's natural for them. That's their state. We're not going to make fun of somebody who running around in a diaper. But here is a problem, because they should be drinking milk and growing in knowledge, growing in the Lord, but there's not. The normal growth is not there. This is a retarded growth. And so these people have some kind of a retarded growth, and even now you are still not able to handle milk. Verse 3, "For you are still carnal." There's a problem that Paul identifies with them. They're still not able to. I don't know how long it's been, but it's unnatural. It's like they're retarded. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, you are not carnal and behaving like mere men. So they're still backbiting. They're still acting like babes, not maturing. Verse 4. "For when one says, 'I am Paul,' and another, 'I am Apollos,' 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? It's a question, sorry. That's division, creating divisions. They're just not able to mature at all. Growth is retarded, and they need to repent, get right with God, and grow. And what is the spiritual milk? 1 Corinthians. Their remedy is 1 Corinthians. Repent, get right with God, and read 1 Corinthians. And that would be their spiritual milk get them mature. It's the Word of God. But specifically for them, 1 and 2 Corinthians was written for these who are babes in Christ and refuse to grow. They still want to be carnal. Any questions, comments, observations?
You really got my gears turning with that very first statement you made. We don't need more of the Holy Spirit. We just need...
You just need to...
let Him into more areas of our life.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love chewing on things like that. I chew on that for weeks.
Right, and it's just like that lady who just wouldn't let her husband have the checkbook. I can't give him the checkbook. You won't let him lead? I'll let him lead everywhere in my life, but I won't let him lead with a checkbook, because he creates problems. Okay. That's a picture of us sometimes.
Yes.
I'm not going to let the Lord lead in all the areas. I just got a minute. Let me go to this. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is kind of a Paul's making a big point about this carnalness. Chapter 10, verses 2-7. This is bad. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold towards you. So you kind of get the idea. He's trying to exhort them. Verse 2, but I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So there's a big spiritual battle in Corinth. And in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. There are people who are fleshly. It's almost as if there's this fourth class of person. It's beyond the carnal. They're in Christ. They're carnal in the flesh, but they're more fleshly. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So they are everything they are doing. This group, who is against Paul, is argumenting, and it's just arguments. And Paul says, you know, these are arguments against God. It's not my words, it's God's word. So he says, against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Obey Christ, obey God's word, and everything will... Disobedience will be taken care of. That was Paul's remedy to this spiritual warfare of these carnal people. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for your word and what it means to grow in Christ and your active participation in maturing us. So thank you so much for that active agent you sent to us, the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.